I made it up here with my broken toe. I decided to wear a sock this evening so you didn't have to see my nasty toes the whole time that I was up here. So I'm able to get a sock on. I'm able to walk better. So the Lord's healing my toe. Never thought I'd break a toe, but sometimes you do the things you don't think you're going to do a lot of times. Seth says I'm faking it. I blame Seth because the day that I broke my toe, I specifically asked, hey, Seth, are you doing anything? And he said, no, I do not like you. I'm just kidding. He didn't say that. He said he's working. And that day I decided to do it myself and broke my toe. The board was big, Larry. So I do want to say before I forget, though, thanks, Seth and Brian, for helping this week. We started doing the HVAC work over at the kids' house, and we're getting really close. And I can just probably say, unless we run into some unfortunate problem on Saturday, the HVAC will be done over there. All the upstairs will have heat. That'll be done on Saturday, and we'll be ready to keep pushing, church. We should be blessed. Know we're blessed by God that He's given us the ministries to serve in. Amen, church. I love the song that we sang, Lord, I Need You. It sounded like a lot of your prayer requests really related to that song, Lord, I Need You. Oh, Lord, I need You. Every hour, I need You. Every hour, I need the Lord. Every hour, I have to have Him in my life. I have to have His strength. I have to have His encouragement. And I have to have His salvation in my life. You can't get through life without the Lord. You can't get through life without Jesus Christ. You can't do it. When you start to realize that, oh wow, does life get a little smoother? When you realize, oh, I'm not strong enough, I'm not big enough to whatever problem I have in life, you can't accomplish it, you can't do it on your own, you need the Lord every day. Oh wow, I love that song. Oh Lord, I need You. Every hour I need You. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, how I need You. Remember that, church. Every day of your life, remember that you need the Lord every day of your life. Every day of your life. We're going to be in Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. You know how I love to start out with something a little different, but while you turn to Judges chapter 7, I want to read exactly what we read on Sunday. It's something like Don said, it really got to me. The passage is so wonderful. But in Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 21, it says, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was found? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. Its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground. Then He blows on them and they wither. They're like a whirlwind sweeps of them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name because of His great power and mighty strength. No one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and power to the weak. Even the youth grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is what we learned on Sunday. And oh, wow, is it true? Wow, is He the everlasting God. Wow, is He the one who's created the heavens and the earth. Wow, is He the God who holds all things in His hands. There is no one greater to trust in your life. There is no one greater to put your confidence in. He's the one strong foundation. He's the strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Amen, church? A strong tower, the one who can be relied on every day of your life. But listen to me, church, there are many people putting their confidence in themselves, wondering why it's not working out. We often put our confidence in the wrong things. Amen, church. We put our confidence in the world. We put our confidence in ourselves. And by my own experience, church, I've realized they fail every single time. But the one who never fails is Jesus Christ. The one who never fails is the Lord Almighty. There's too many people putting their trust in themselves. And they're wondering, why can't I fix the problems in my life? Why can't I fix this problem in my life? Why do I keep doing this sin over and over and over again? We often put our confidence in the wrong things. And listen to me, there's one thing that this church ought to know, or there's one thing this church ought to have, is confidence in the Lord. If there's one thing this church ought to know, just by seeing God move every single day, is having confidence in the Lord, that when God says he's going to do something, you can rest assured God is going to do it. Amen, church? Amen. So let me ask you a question this evening. Do you have confidence in the Lord? Are you confident in the Lord? Are you confident that the Lord is going to do the things he says? It's easy to shake our heads, yes, in the church. But when you are faced with a problem in your life, listen to me, when you don't know how you're going to pay your next bill, when you're sitting there at the doctor and the doctor says, I'm not sure how long you have to live, but listen to me, can you say then, oh, wow, do I have confidence in the Lord? No matter the outcome, no matter the solution, oh, wow, do I have confidence in the Lord? Amen, church. Judges chapter 7. Let me give you a little bit of context. We all know the book of Judges is this continual cycle. They do great when a judge comes in, and then as soon as that judge dies, they start doing bad again. They start sinning, they start doing wicked things, and they're doing these things over and over and over again. And God lets the Midianites come in, and they are oppressive. The Israelites start doing evil, and God allows the Midianites to come in. And listen to me, they're so oppressive that every time the Israelites try to grow anything, they just stomp it out. They crush it. And they cry out to God. And listen to me, the angel of the Lord comes to this man named Gideon. Some of us might know the story of Gideon. The angel of the Lord comes to Gideon, and basically to sum it up, the angel says, you're going to be the strong warrior. You're going to save Israel. And I can imagine, it doesn't say, but Gideon was probably laughing because he literally says, I'm the least in my, we have the weakest tribe, and I'm the weakest in my whole family. I'm not a mighty warrior. I'm nothing. I'm the least in my family. But the angel shows him some signs to show who he is, and Gideon takes down the idols that are in his area, and they're about to kill him, but God's providence, God's hand is all in those mix, and Gideon gets this army together. Many of us know the test that Gideon, Lord, if you want me to go, make this fleece wet and the ground around dry. And he says, Gideon's like, well, you did that, but let's see if you can do the opposite of that. Make the fleece dry and the ground wet all around it. All those things, we all know that story. Many of us know that story. But I love this next story. We're going to dive really deep into, I really think our church relates very well to this story. So when we're going through this story, it might be a little bit of teaching, but I want you to picture our church for just a moment. While we look at these verses and while we look at the experience that Gideon has, I think, really, our church has a lot of these experiences. Let's start in verse 1. Early in the morning, Judges chapter 7, verse 1. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, this is Gideon, and all the men camped at the spring of Herod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Morah. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into your hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left. So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remain. See, Gideon has 32,000 men. And listen to me, that is nothing compared to what the Midianites have. The Midianites have 135,000 men. That's not, the odds of 32,000 men defeating 135,000 is not enough. So you would probably think Gideon was hoping that the Lord would send more and more and more people because that's the only way that they're going to win the battle. But what does the Lord say? You got too many men. You have too many. 32,000, that's too many. Why does he say that's too many? He says it's too many because he knows even 32,000, even though the odds were so against him, the people of Israel would say, oh, look what we'd have done. Oh, look at what we have done. 32,000 men is not nearly enough. Why do we not have confidence in the Lord? Why do we so often struggle to have confidence in the Lord? Listen to me, we often do this very same thing, church. Have you ever thought, oh, when I have what I need, then I'll do what the Lord wants me to do. When I have enough money, then I'll do what the Lord wants me to do. Or listen to me, church, when we have 300 people in the church, then we'll do what the Lord wants us to do. Listen to me, that's not how the Lord works. When the Lord tells us to go, we ought to go. We sang it in a song, I'll follow. Listen to me, we ought to follow God. Even if we have the least amount of people possible. Gideon is faced with this huge battle in front of him. And what does God do? He says, you have too many men. And I can imagine the surprise on Gideon's face when he says, if you guys are afraid, you can leave. And 22,000 of his men left. He's only got 10,000 now. He had 32,000, and he gives the people an out. I'm not going to lie, maybe I would be one of those 22,000. You're looking at the Midianite army, you're part of that 32,000, and you see 130, you can probably think, yep, this is it, we're done. And listen to me, there's been a lot of people a part of this church who's looked at the big task God's given us in the ministries, and they give up, and they say, that's too big, I don't want to be a part of the failure. Oh, does God not fail? Amen, church. God does not fail. He will always be victorious. Amen, church. Remember that. Remember that he's faced with this huge battle that's in front of him. And 22,000 men leave. There's only 10,000 left. Remember that. And he's probably hoping that maybe in the future God brings a few more men. But listen to me, that's not what happens. And we often take credit for the things God does in our life. We think, oh, you know, 32,000, they wouldn't take credit. We often take credit for the things God does in our life. Sometimes I think the Lord allows us to be small, so we're left with no reason or no ability to take credit. Be careful for the things you take credit of. Remember actually what the Lord's given you in your life. Remember the salvation he's given you. Sometimes we think, oh, I got this job, I make this money. Ooh, that car, it's mine. That house, it's mine. Look what I've done. Look what I've built. Again, like I read in Psalms 40, oh, wow, can he crush things down? It can be gone in just a moment. The Lord gives and he takes away. Everything on earth is his. Everything is his. You got this huge battle. Verse 4. But the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you there. If I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues, as the dog laps for those who kneel down to drink. 300 of them drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest of them got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. Not only did he have 10,000 men, but the Lord says, that's too many. That's too many. He has them do these tests. Kind of odd tests, really. When I was studying this, some people might have think that God was seeing who was more vigilant. The people that lapped the water like a dog were vigilant, and the people who just got down on their knees in the water weren't as vigilant. I don't know if that's true, but all I know is Gideon has to be like, man, I really hope that the 700 men are the ones God picks, because we're already not going to make it as it is. I hope, but what does God say? I'm going to give you the Midianites. I'm going to give them to your hands with just the 300 people. That's like 400 to 1. You imagine trying to fight 400 people by yourself? You can't do it. That's too many people. It's impossible. It is impossible for an army of 300 to beat an army of 135,000. It's just impossible. It's not going to happen. He's only got 300 men. And listen to me, I think the most sobering part of this whole section right here is in verse 8 at the very end. It says, "Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley." Think about that. You had 32,000. The Lord says, "Nope, not enough, or too many." Cuts it down to 10,000. The Lord says, "Too many." Now you have 300 men, and you're staring down in this valley, this huge valley, filled with 135,000 men, ready to go to war. As soon as God says, "Let's go," he's ready to go for war. Can you imagine that for a moment? If you're standing in Gideon's shoes, looking down at the valley and wondering, "There's no way. There's no way we're making it through this. There's no way. This is impossible. It's not going to happen." And listen to me, God puts Gideon in the place where he has no choice but to trust him. And there's many times in our life, church, listen to me, God puts us in a place, puts a huge problem. We're looking down at the valley of the problem, that what's ever there, and we say, "Oh wow, we're not making it through this. There's no possible way." And that's right where the Lord wants you to be, because that's the place where you have no choice but to trust him. You have no choice but to trust the Lord. So be thankful sometimes for the problems that we have in life, because it puts us in a place where there's no better place than to trust the Lord. Amen, church. He's looking at the valley, probably thinking this is impossible. He has nowhere else to turn to but to God. And God will often do this to us. But remember, church, Psalms 26 through 7 says, "Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers them from his heavenly sanctuary with victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Amen, church. If you're a believer in Christ, you ought to trust in the name of the Lord. We do not trust finances in this church. We do not trust possessions in this church. What do we trust in? We trust in the name of the Lord our God, because we can't do the ministries if it wasn't for the name of the Lord our God. Amen, church. Remember this. You want to make it through the problems of your life, start trusting in the Lord. Have confidence in God. Have confidence that God will see you through. Remember this, church. Because I can promise you, you're going to be in those moments. Praise the Lord, if your life is going great, you don't have any valleys, any problems where you're looking down and you don't know how you're going to make it through. But I can promise you that in the future that you're going to be looking down at the valley. And if you think you're going to be able to beat the army, good luck. You can't do it without God. You got to put your faith in God. Praise the Lord, God helps us. Praise the Lord, he's the one who helps us. He's the one who saves us. He's the one who encourages us. He's the one that gives us confidence to do the things. God doesn't just say, "Go do it." He encourages you. He gives you confidence to actually do it. Praise the Lord, he just doesn't leave us looking down at the valley. Picture it though. Sometimes that stuff's hard to picture, but I think this is pretty easy. You're looking down at this valley, and it's got so many things. And listen to me, a lot of our valleys are different. Some of us are looking down at the valley, and we're wondering, "Is my marriage going to last?" Some of us are looking down at the valley, and we're saying, "Am I ever going to get a job?" Some of us are looking down at the valley saying, "Am I ever going to beat addiction?" Listen to me, all our valleys look a little different, but there's one thing that remains the same. The Lord is the helper of all those things. The Lord is the one who lifts us up. The Lord is the one who encourages us to move on. The Lord doesn't want you to be stuck looking at the valley. Rather, he wants you to have confidence in him that he's going to fight the battle for you. Amen. Remember that the Lord is much bigger than the valley. The Lord is much bigger than the problems you have in your life. There's too many Christians stuck looking at the valley, and that's all they're doing is, I'll try to do it. I'm trying my best. You can't do it. It's only by the power of God. Amen, church? Amen. Verse 9. It says, during the night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down to against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant, Purah, and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outpost of the camp. The Midianites and the Amalekites and all the other eastern people had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashores. This is just showing us how big and vast the army is. And listen to me, the Lord is encouraging Gideon by saying, get up, I've already given them into your hands. You don't even have to do. You just have to go where God wants you to go. I've already given you into their hands. And listen to me, God encourages us even though we're afraid. Gideon's afraid. How do we know that he's afraid? Because he does what the Lord says. He says, if you're afraid to attack, go down to the camp and I'll encourage you there. I'll show you I'm going to give you into their hands. God encouraged, and listen to me, there's many times in my life the Lord has encouraged me to fight the good fight. There's many times in my life, listen to me, I wouldn't be fighting the good fight if it wasn't for the Lord's encouragement in my life. I wouldn't be able to fight the good fight if it wasn't for the Lord in my life. And let me encourage you with this, church, listen to me closely, the Word of God never fails. The Word of God will never fail. It can't fail. Listen to me. When the Lord says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You can rest assured that it's going to happen. So when Gideon heard the Lord say, get up and go down against the camp because I'm giving you it into your hands, Gideon could rest assured that that is what's going to happen. We got to start trusting God that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. We prayed and fasted this year. And listen to me, there's some big things. Trust that the Lord is going to do those things. Put your confidence in the Lord. You're not going to be able to do a praise band. You're not going to be able to do the things in the ministries that we want to do. You're not going to raise the $700,000 that we need, but you know the one who can do it? The Lord can do it. Amen, church. And he's encouraging us. And he's encouraging us to do those things. The Word of God will never fail in your life. And when the Lord says it's going to happen, believe it. It's really as simple as that, church. But oh wow, do we, all of us, fail at times believing that the Lord is going to do what he says he's going to do. I've been guilty of it, church. Sometimes Jimmy's vision, the God's given him, I look, I say, wow, that's pretty big. But I trust the Lord's going to see it through. I don't trust that I'm going to see it through. I don't trust Jimmy's going to see it through. And to be honest, I don't trust any of you are going to be able to see it through. All I do is trust the Lord to see it through. Lord, it's in your hands. Lord, if you're going to raise $700,000 for the ministry, Lord, if you're going to give us the block here, Lord, if you're going to bring people here, I trust you with all those things. Because you're the only one that's able to do it. And listen to me, when we got those problems in life, that's often what we should do first. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this problem, but I trust you first. I trust you first. You know more than I do. You know how it's going to turn out. Lord, I trust you first. God encourages us for all those things. Verse 13, let's see what Gideon does. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling down the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such a force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. When Gideon heard this dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Oh, wow, what a wonderful thing. He goes down to this camp, he's afraid, but wow, does the Lord seem to always be going before us. He has this man, it seems, just at the right moment. It's no more than a miracle that this guy happened to be telling this other guy a dream right at the right moment. And this is an interesting thing. Many of us didn't know. I didn't know until I studied, what is barley bread? This is important to the story. What is barley bread? Basically, I'll say it like this. It's the nastiest kind of bread. It's like that bread you get that's probably like a brick when you're going out to the restaurant. Stale, nasty bread. Often fed to the dogs. Barley bread was often fed to the dogs. And this is what is part of this dream. Basically, he says, I had a dream. And he said, this round loaf of barley bread. Who is that? That's Gideon in his army. That's the Israelites, the weak, the people, the things that people think, oh, that's nasty and don't want. Listen to me, God often uses the weak to show his strength. Amen, church? God often uses the weak to show his strength. God gives Gideon the confidence to get up and fight. God is trying to get you up to fight the battles in your life. God is trying to get you up, to get you moving. And sometimes he'll show us things. Sometimes, just like you showed Gideon here, encouraged him by saying, listen to me, I'm already working ahead of you. I see your problem. I know the odds are against you, but I'm already going before you. I don't know about you guys, but that would encourage me. This is a wonderful piece to this story. It's kind of a small thing, but listen to me. God will use the weak for his glory. And I don't like saying this, but it is true. Our church is pretty weak in numbers. But oh wow, does God use it to show his glory. I pray to God that he'll increase our numbers. You know, to increase our numbers so that we can share the gospel with more people. That's our goal, church. That's really the only reason why you would want numbers. Hopefully. That's why you want numbers. Because listen to me. Numbers are great for doing things, for working. They are. But as soon as we start relying on each other, thinking we're going to do it, that's when we fail, church. We got to always trust the Lord with everything. No matter how big this church ever gets. This church could have 10,000 people in it. That would be hard. But we could have it. But one thing should never change is we always should trust the Lord with everything he's given us. That's the same for your life. That's the same for your life. When I trust the Lord, he gives me confidence. When you begin to trust the Lord, he gives you confidence to fight that good fight, to press on. And listen to me, you can't end your race and God say, well done, good and faithful servant, if first you don't trust the Lord. You're not going to get to that end. You're not going to get well done, good and faithful servant if you never trust the Master. If you never trust the Lord. And listen to me, I think this is such a beautiful piece. I've said it in other things because I think it's a principle we ought to think about. What does it say Gideon does when he sees this dream? It says, when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down in worship. He hasn't even won the battle yet. He hasn't even won the battle yet. But what does he do? He bowed down and worshiped God. And what does he tell the people? Get up. The Lord has given the Midianite camp into our hands. They haven't even went to battle yet. Listen to me. We ought to start praising God in this church before he finishes the projects. We ought to start praising God that he's going to give us a praise band. We ought to start praising God that he's going to do all those things we prayed and fasted for. We ought to start praising God that the kids' house is going to be open. Because listen to me, when the Lord says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Amen. Got to stop praising God just at the end. Yo, praise him at the end. Oh, he's so awesome and wonderful. But start praising him when he says he's going to do something. That's a good principle to adopt in the Christian life. You want to know why it's so good to start praising God or worshiping God at the start rather than the finish? Because, oh, wow, does that journey seem long sometimes? Wow, does that journey seem hard sometimes? But when you can say, oh, wow, do I know the Lord's going to do it? Or, oh, wow, do I know he's going to prevail? Listen to me, you can easily start making it through the battles of your life. Didn't say it was going to be easy. Didn't say it wasn't going to get tired. Oh, wow, you know that it's going to happen. You're going to know it's going to happen. I I wish Christians trusted God a little bit more. Can you imagine what God could do with a people who trusted him with everything? Probably some pretty big things, amen, church? Why? Because God's a pretty big God. He's not a small God. He's not a small G. He's the God, the only God. The one and only God who loves you unconditionally. We can't say the same thing. Put your hope and your trust and your confidence in the one who can do something about the problems in your life. And listen to me, I love this piece there towards the end as well. The people got up just by what Gideon says. The Lord went to Gideon and said, "This, I've given it to you." And Gideon heard the dream, heard the interpreter. He's so excited. He worships, he bows down to the Lord, and he tells all the people, "Get up. The Lord's already won for us." What do the people do? They get up. Listen to me. When you start having confidence in God, when you start having confidence in God, oh, listen to me, it gives others the confidence to follow God. When you start having confidence in the Lord and you start saying, "Oh, the Lord, I prayed to him and I know he's going to see it through. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how it's going to be, but I know the Lord has not left me. I know the Lord's going to see it through." Oh, wow, does it give people, Christians, believers, the confidence to follow God as well? There's something powerful in a person who has confidence in God. It just is. Many of us have wondered or thought, "Man, I wish I could have that." Maybe you've thought that. I've thought that before. Man, he's so confident that he just seems like he's like 100% sure God's going to do that for him. You know, it's not so hard to have that confidence. It's as simple as trusting in the Lord. Verse 16, let's finish this story up. A little bit of reading. Hopefully you guys know a little bit more about this story after we're done. Verse 16 says, "Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. 'Watch me,' he told them. 'Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow the trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon.' Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had changed guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars with their hands. The three companies blew their trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets. They were to blow, and they shouted, 'A sword for the Lord and for Gideon.' While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. Then the 300 trumpets sounded. The Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords, and the army fled." Listen to me. Really, the 300 men didn't even have to really do anything. God used their own men to fight against themselves. Let's not miss this, church. Why should you have confidence in the Lord? Why should you have confidence in the Lord? You can trust the Word of God. This is what we see in this story. Listen to me. The Word of God doesn't come back void. It doesn't come. When the Lord says he's going to do something, he's going to do something. And listen to me. When the Lord says that you're more than conquerors, you can rest assured that you're more than conquerors. Amen, church? When God says he loves you, you can rest assured that he loves you. And listen to me. When God says that he'll see you through whatever problem in your life, that you can cast all your cares on him because he cares for you, you can rest assured that when you cast your cares on God, he'll see you through because he cares for you. Because he loves you. You can have confidence in the Lord today, church, because you can trust the Word of God. And listen to me. Why can you trust the confidence? You can write these down if you want. Why should you have confidence in the Lord? Because God owns all things. That's one thing this church ought to know, is that God owns all things. Psalms 24:1 says this: "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it." God owns all things. You don't have enough money in your life? Well, praise the Lord, you serve the God who does. You ain't got enough men? Oh, praise the Lord, he owns all things. You think your problem is pretty big? Praise the Lord, you serve a big God. Praise the Lord, you serve a big God. And why should you have confidence in the Lord? Listen to me. Most importantly, God is able. Many people thinking God's not able to do whatever they think. Oh, trust me when I tell you, church, God is able. If he's able to save you and I, oh, wow, is he able to help us through the problems of this life. That was the most impossible thing that anyone could have ever done, and he did it. He did the impossible. I love the passage in Matthew 19:26 where the disciples, they say, well, then who can be saved? If the rich can't be saved, well, then who can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen, church? With God, all things are possible in your life. If God can save even the poor, if God can save the rich, if God can save the sinner like you and I, oh, trust me when I tell you, the Lord can do the impossible. He is able to help you with the things in life. You're struggling in your life? Praise the one who's able to do those things. Stop trusting your own strength. It's not big enough. Stop trusting your own strength in life. It's not big enough. You got a problem in life? Start trusting in the one who can do something about it. Listen to me. There's lots of problems in life. Lots of them. Lots of them. Listen to me. You're sinning over and over again. Stop trusting and thinking you're going to be able to make it through. You're a gossiper. Stop thinking you're going to be able to stop on your own strength. You're a liar. Stop thinking you're going to be able to stop on your own strength. You're addicted to pornography. Stop thinking you're going to stop on your own strength. Not sure if your marriage is going to survive. Stop trying to fix it on your own strength. Been doing these drugs for years and years of your life. Stop trying to fix them on your own strength. Can't be done. I'll testify to it tonight, church. It cannot be done. You can't fix the problems in your life. They're too big. There's some of us today that are struggling in this cycle of I do good for a while, and I fall right back into it. I do good for a while, and I fall right back into it. That's a good sign that you might not be actually trusting God with it. That's sometimes a hard thing to think about, but you won't get your life right until you realize that I'm not trusting in God. You won't get where you need to be in life with God, with the Lord, when you keep telling yourself that I'll figure it out. You're not going to figure it out. You'd have figured it out by now. You're not going to figure it out. You got a problem? Put your confidence in the Lord. You got a problem? Put your confidence in the one who holds everything in his hands. Hopefully this is a repetitive message, church. I hate to watch Christians struggle as much as they are. For one reason, really, a lot of the times, because they've forgotten who their Lord is. They've forgotten who the one who saves them. Forgotten the one who helps them. Forgot the one who puts their feet back on the right path. Remember the things the Lord has done in your life. Listen to me, there's many people trying to fight the good fight on their own. Maybe you're trying to fight it now. Maybe you're trying to muscle and grind, fight this good fight all on your own strength. Can't be done. Won't happen. And listen to me. You might be fighting right now, but let me ask you a question. When is the last time? The last time you said, God, I trust you with it. You keep fighting and you keep fighting and you keep fighting the battles in your life. When is the last time you said, Lord, I trust you with it? Might have been a long time ago. Listen to me. You're not going to get the problem fixed until you start saying that very small thing. But oh wow, is it so powerful. Lord, I trust you with it. But maybe you're here today and listen to me, you never trusted in Christ. You got one major problem in your life. when you've never trusted in Christ in your life, you got a pretty big problem. It's like looking down at the valley, all that huge army. Listen to me. Without Christ, you don't make it. You don't beat that army. You don't beat the army of sin, because listen to me, this, the wages of sin is death. You have that. If you don't have Christ in your life, the wages of sin is death. But oh wow, do we serve a great and awesome God who sent his son to die on the cross for you and I, that we could have a relationship with him. We can be restored and given everlasting life. We should praise God every day for the everlasting life he gives us. Amen, church? Amen. Maybe you're today and you've never done that. Today's the day to start trusting in the Lord. Today's the day to start trusting in God for salvation. Let me ask you again, church. When is the last time you've put your confidence in God? When's the last time you've been confident in God? Let's stand.